Good morning. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text this morning comes to us in the form of a question. Genesis chapter 15 in verse 8. And he said, "Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it?" This morning we shall gain insight into our covenant-keeping God. First, considering the way in which he related to Abraham, and then by extension, looking to God, our Savior's guarantees concerning our own inheritance. And so we begin with the context, which is the origin of the land covenant, which was later to be formally ratified with the nation of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And note that I use the theological term land covenant and not the term that some use, Palestinian covenant, for there is no such historical people group as the Palestinians. That term was introduced by Rome in 132 AD for the purpose of undermining Jewish ethnic identity. And so it is used and reiterated to this day for the same purpose. So being an anti-Semitic term, we use the term land covenant, or we could say the land of Israel's covenant. Now, prior to our text, God had reaffirmed his covenant with Abraham, first given in Genesis chapter 12, when the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Fast forward to Genesis chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. And as we move along to our applications, you're going to see why all of this background is necessary to have and to understand. "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward.' But Abram said, 'Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?' And then Abram said, 'Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir.' And then he brought him outside and said, 'Look now toward heaven. Count the stars, if you are able to number them.' And he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.'" Indeed, God would follow through by giving Abraham the son of the promise at the ripe young age of 100. Well, we read in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6, "And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness." We read here that Abraham believed God's promises, and it was his faith in what God had revealed to him that saved him. Likewise, it is our faith that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead that saves you and I this morning. And then he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it." And he said, "Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it?" This was not a question asked in doubt. This is similar to the tenor of the question that Mary asked the angel Gabriel when she was told that she would bear a child. And she said, "How can these things be?" In other words, like, "I believe, Lord, but I don't understand how this can be." And when the Lord is faced with a question that comes from a place of faith and belief, we will find that he is quite gracious in his response to us. And so Abraham here, well, then he was still called Abram. He hadn't been given that new name yet. But Abram or Abraham asks for further understanding. Abraham was not doubting, for the scripture already says 2 verses earlier that he believed the Lord. Now, in the following verses, we have the record of a blood covenant. And the details follow the usual way of the ancient covenant, except in this, that in the ancient covenant, both parties of the covenant would walk through the pieces of the sacrificial animals. But here, we're going to find that Abram slept deeply while God passed through alone. And so let us read the narrative, continuing in Genesis chapter 15. So he said to him, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." And then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. Notice here that all of these animals are associated with the Levitical system, which would soon be developed, with the Old Testament law, and specifically, these animals were associated with atonement for sins. Continuing in the narrative. "And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. And then he said to Abram, 'Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they will come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete.'" Even though there would be times of trial and affliction in the life of Abraham and in the nation which would come from his loins through Isaac and Jacob, the nation of Israel, that would not mean that God had abandoned his people. And then we read that it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. God alone passed through the pieces of the animals in the form of light, in his Shekinah glory. And that God passed through alone means that the covenant is unconditional. God passed through those pieces and he bound himself to the covenant even while Abram slept. See, that covenant had nothing to do with Abram and Abraham and his descendants and whether they would be faithful or not, because God was going to give that land to these descendants no matter what they did. And so you look around and you find that Israel today has largely rejected her Messiah. And Israel is, in many ways, quite secular. But that does not mean that God has or will abandon this covenant, because the land covenant did not depend upon Abraham, and it doesn't depend on the nation of Israel. It depends upon the Lord, and the Lord is always faithful. We can mark that down. Abram and his descendants would have nothing to do but to take a deep sleep, take a nap, and they didn't have to do anything but believe. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. And then we have the promise that on the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Now to our points of application. It is hard not to think of Jesus Christ in the New Covenant as we read and consider the passage at hand if we are in a spiritual place. Look at all the points of similarity. We see the sacrifice, that there was shedding of blood, the blood sacrifice. Be as it may, that the death of these animals is sufficient for the land covenant. It took a perfect and sinless sacrifice of God himself to redeem souls of men under the new covenant. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he, that is Jesus, came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. And then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that is the Old Testament, that he may establish the second, that is the New Testament. And a testament is simply a covenant that is ratified by a death. More specifically, ratified by the blood. And by that will, we have been sanctified or set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. In our passage at hand, we see the night. And in Genesis chapter 15, in verse 12, we read about horror and great darkness. And this calls to mind for us the darkness of sin. And so, I ask you, can you see in your mind's eye your sin bearer on the cross? Can you see him there when there is darkness over all the land? We, as a human race, we're sitting in dreadful anticipation of the darkness of hell. Darkness, which may even be felt. And yet, we must believe that the glorious God of light will come through the pieces unscathed. We recently walked the way of the cross, the stations of the cross, outside here in the big church. And we observed the Lord, as he went from his condemnation, the pronouncement of guilt upon him by sinful men. And we saw him abused. We saw that crown of thorns, not only placed on his head, but twisted in, and then beaten down with the staves of strong men. We saw his brow bloodied, his back beaten. Nobody could recognize the man. And to add further insult to injury, he was mocked and jeered at as they gave him a cross, a piece of wood, the instrument which would be used in his death to carry from one place to the place where he would hang at Calvary. And as he went, he walked through the pieces, as it were. He walked alone on that road, notwithstanding the presence of Simon the Cyrenian, a few faithful women, and a few cowardly disciples who were along the way. The only one who really understood what was going on in that covenant that day was Jesus, was God himself. And so it's amazing as we go through the scriptures that we find shadows of that which is to come in the way in which the Lord established other of his covenants, walking that way alone, being the only one who could fully understand the gravity, the cost, and the effectiveness of that which was being performed. The work is all his. That though the sun went down on the Son of God, that he has risen and that he lives to keep his promises to us, that Shekinah glory shines ever brighter with each and every beautiful day that the Lord has given us. And so we have come to our second header of applications concerning the eternal spiritual inheritance. And so we ask God with Abraham, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? Abram was old already, and it was not possible that he would inherit the land. In fact, to this point, Abraham owned nothing in the land. And though he traversed the land, the only piece of that land that Abraham ever owned was the cave of Machpelah, a burial plot for which he overpaid grossly. And so, Abraham reasoned that he would not inherit the land in this life, and therefore there must be an afterlife. There must then be a resurrection. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. Some of you probably couldn't even imagine not taking a trip to some faraway place without a GPS. I could imagine it. I know when I'm on vacation, we'll just go driving. Like we'll go up to Gloucester and Rockport, and on a couple of occasions, we figured out how to get back here without getting on a highway. By following ocean roads and driving through like Never Never Land without a GPS. And boy, you want to talk about an adventure. But at least we know where we were going. We had a home to go to. Abraham was sent out, no GPS, no nothing. And he was just sent out to some far, you know, coming from Ur of the Chaldees. And just the Lord said, go that way. Go to that place. Pick up your stuff and go. What faith is that? By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Friends, we have something, though, that Abraham did not have. We have the divine demonstration in history, of which we spoke already this morning. that Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead, and he says, because I live, you will live also. Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? Well, friend, do you believe the Bible? Do you believe that this is the Word of God? The Word of God claims for itself divine inspiration. 2 Timothy 3:16. You believe it or you don't? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Friend, are you unsure still? Maybe you don't believe Peter. Well, then be assured and believe Jesus Christ himself, who said this, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from sin into life. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. And that those who have done good and those who have done evil is not talking about works, but in the context of verse 24, it's talking about those who have believed in him whom the Father sent. And I pity the one who has not made that transaction. For indeed, you would be going to a place of utter darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do not wait for a sign. You need not wait for a sign. You have the Bible promises. If you have believed, if you have trusted in Christ for your salvation, you need no other sign. There is a false teaching out there that you need a second blessing, that you have to get some sort of sign gift or something else, some other experience. And so this keeps folks always looking for another sign, another experience. If you've had a new birth, then you've had the experience. The transaction has been made. That sanctification process is in place and it is continual. And according to Ephesians chapter 1, you have been sealed with God the Holy Spirit from the time of the new birth moving forward. Do not wait for wisdom. If God has saved your soul, if you know that your inheritance is secure, then go forward in your faith and serve. Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? Because the Lord walked between the pieces alone. Because the Lord walked the way of the cross alone. Because the Lord has done what you and I cannot do. Jesus has satisfied the Father's wrath against your sin. And if you trust in him, you shall surely be spared the judgment. And the promise of Christ is this: my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So just as the nation of Israel has done nothing to earn that land, but this is wholly a work of God in his promise, so too, your heavenly inheritance is such that you have done nothing to work for it. You've done nothing to earn it. God has done all that is necessary, all that is asked of you, yea, even all that is inquired of you, required of you, is to believe. So, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your unconditional and wonderful, merciful, and gracious acts that you have done through history. Lord, we ask that we might be more and more fully impressed by the way in which you have done things, that you might be magnified more and more in our hearts, in our spirits, in our lives, and that we ourselves will be esteemed lowly with humility, even as you taught us by the example of your Son, Jesus Christ. If there are any here who have not appropriated the blood of the new covenant, to their own lives, that such will consider that way which the Savior walked and receive him and become truly your child by faith from this day forward. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And now offer one another the sign of peace.